Hi there, my name is Njerim Bogwa and I'm the host of Crime and Consequence KE, a true crime podcast where we tell the life stories of our victims, who they were, what happened to them, and why they still matter. Our pledge today are Shaban Jeffokatana, our victim, Mustafa Barak Ngoka, our accused person, and Zawadi, which is not her real name, but she's a very key person in the story, and she was the girlfriend. And this incident happened on the 10th of September 2024 at a village in Kaloleni sub-county, Kilifi County. Okay, so let me paint a picture of who's who. Zawadi and Shaban are currently in a relationship, but before this relationship, Zawadi and Mustafa had been together for 2 years, but Mustafa had ended things with Zawadi after the 2 years. And so after a while, then Zawadi and Shaban started dating, and Zawadi, Shaban and Mustafa were all neighbors and they were all teenagers. So this is kind of like a teenage love triangle story. All right, let's get started now. So after Zawadi and Mustafa break up, Zawadi and Shaban start dating. And because, as I mentioned, they were neighbors, Mustafa was not happy that, you know, his ex-girlfriend was now dating his neighbor. And allegedly, a week before Shaban died, Mustafa is said to have threatened Zawadi at a shopping center, and he told her that she would face it together with her idiot boyfriend. And the threat really didn't seem to, you know, do anything to Shaban and Zawadi. They just continued dating. So on this day of the incident, on September 10th, at around 8 p.m., Zawadi is at home with a relative of hers who's not identified, and she borrows the relative their phone and says that she wants to call her boyfriend, so she wants to call Shaban. So she takes the phone was identified as a Nokia, she takes the Nokia and she calls Shaban and tells him that she wants them to have sex at their usual place. And that is, as I mentioned earlier, that was somewhere in the bushes near where all of them lived. So that day, Shaban was a bit reluctant. He really didn't want to go. And Zawadi convinced him to meet up. And finally, he agreed to go meet her. So at the time that Zawadi was calling, Shaban was at home with his elder brother, and he told his brother that, "I'm going to go look at the animals and then I'll be right back." So his brother testified that this was around 8:30 p.m. He took his phone and he left the house. And about 30 minutes later, at 9 p.m., Zawadi and Shaban met at their usual place. And Shaban had his phone and he also had a D-light torch. That's like the really big torches, and they're usually really, really bright. The ones that, I don't know if you've seen a lot of soldiers use them. So they're said to have started walking deeper into the forest that was behind the houses so that they could go have sex. As they're walking, Mustafa suddenly appears, and he's said to have taken a hold of Shaban by the waist, and then akaanza kumwambia kuja hapa. So Shaban, because he has a torch, he directs the D-light at Mustafa, and that is how Zawadi could identify that it was Mustafa that had kind of ambushed them. During her testimony, she also said that she could recognize his voice because he kept on telling Shaban, "Kuja hapa, kuja hapa." She said that Mustafa was dressed in a blue shirt, with open buttons and a hat. So when Mustafa attacks them, Zawadi sensed that they were in danger and she took off. She ran away and she went back home. So she left Shaban and Mustafa still at the scene, kind of struggling together. When she got home, I think in her mind she thought that Shaban had also managed to run away. So she borrowed her relative the phone again and she started trying to call him. And she called him for about an hour, but he was not picking up. And at about 10 p.m., when he still was not picking up the calls, she slept. And I'm maybe also guessing the relative at this point was like, you know, maybe you've been using my phone for an hour, just give it to me. So she had no option but to go to bed. But at about 5 a.m. the next day, she wakes up and again she borrows the phone and she's trying to call Shaban. She's trying to call her boyfriend, but all her calls go unanswered. Now let's go back a bit to the previous night when Shaban leaves home at 8:30 and tells his brother that he's going to look after the animals, he's coming back. So when he left, he had locked his bedroom door from the outside. And at around 3 a.m., his mom is up and she notices that his bedroom door is still locked from outside. So she goes to Shaban's brother and asks why Shaban's door has been locked from outside. Is he not home? And the brother is like, oh, the last time I saw him, he said that he was going to look after the animals and he was going to come back. And so they get worried and they also start calling Shaban. And they call him and call him and call him, but he's not answering his phone. So maybe they think or assume that he decided to sleep at somebody else's house and is going to be back the next day. So they just decided to go back to bed. And now we're back to present day 5 a.m. Zawadi has woken up. She's called him. He's not answering. So that morning, some villagers are walking by this open field in the forest and they notice the body of a young man, and he had been killed and he was like at the lower side of that open field. So they notice that the body had several cut wounds and it could not be identified immediately because also it was really early in the morning. When Zawadi had the news, because as I said, Zawadi and Shaban and Mustafa, they were all neighbors, so the news was spreading through the village really quickly. So they all had the news, and Zawadi and Shaban's brother, they went together to the crime scene. And when they got there, they were able to confirm that the body belonged to Shaban. After all this, you know, after the villagers found the body, obviously the police were called and they came and they collected the body. A post-mortem was conducted on 16th September, and a trigger warning, the descriptions below might be extremely distressing to some listeners, so listener discretion is advised. You can feel free to skip forward a few minutes. Cause of death was severe and fatal head and neck injuries. He had a large collection of blood under the scalp on the left side of his head, showing a very hard blow. His skull was badly broken with a long crack and pieces of bone pushed out of place. The fractures affected the back, side and top parts of his head. His brain was badly damaged. There were deep cuts, bruising and tearing in critical parts of the brain, including areas that control breathing, balance, movement, vision and body functions. His neck was broken at the very top of the spine between the first and second neck bones, and the bones had shifted out of position. And finally, his spinal cord was completely severed at the neck level, which means all communication between the brain and the rest of the body was cut off when he was attacked. So unfortunately, Shaban's injuries were catastrophic, and the damage to his brain and his neck would have caused instant death when he was hit, or a very quick death, leaving no chance for survival. And even on the off chance that he survived, he would have been completely paralyzed, unable to do anything, really. The next day after the postmortem, on September 17th, Mustafa was arrested and he was charged with the murder of Shaban. And court documents really don't go into much detail on how police conducted the investigations, but I'm guessing that Zawadi came forward and told them everything that she knew. And so they relied on that testimony to find Mustafa. In his defense, Mustafa, who was a Form 1 student at Minjo Secondary School, said that he was dating Zawadi until they broke up on August 18th of 2018. So they'd probably been dating since like 2016. On September 10th, 2024, the day of the offense, he says that he was in school until about 6 p.m. when he went home. And after he went home, he didn't leave. He said that he stayed home and watched TV with his father until 10 p.m. when he went to his bedroom and he slept. And then the following day, he woke up, he went to school, and that's where he heard about the death of Shaban, but he did not know who had killed him. And for whatever reason, because his alibi was that he was with his father, for whatever reason, his father was not called as a witness for his defense. So his alibi, I feel that made his alibi a little bit weak. Also, I think it's hard to, when your alibi is like your parents, because your parents are likely to say anything to try and put you in a better position. You know, the case was heard before Judge S.M. Githinji at the High Court in Malindi, and he said that Mustafa was charged with murder, which is defined under Section 203 of the Penal Code as any person who of malice, afterthought, causes the death of another person by unlawful act or omission is guilty of murder. And guilty by omission happens when a person is held legally responsible for a crime or harm because they failed to act or intervene when they had a specific legal duty to do so. So that's what guilty by omission means. So for example, if you're a parent and you take your child to the swimming pool and you're not monitoring them closely and then they happen to drown, that's an example that they give online. So if the prosecution always carries the burden of proof and they must prove a few ingredients beyond reasonable doubt for them to get a murder charge conviction, right? So the first thing that they must prove is that the victim died or is dead. The second thing is that the death must have been occasioned by an unlawful act or omission of the accused. And the other thing is malice aforethought. It must be established that the accused had the intentions to kill or cause grievous harm to the deceased. So in this case, the judge said, the evidence of prosecution witnesses leaves no doubt that one, Shaban Jefo Katana, is dead. The evidence of the pathologist who conducted the postmortem at Kilifi County Hospital reveals beyond doubt that he met his death out of penetrating head and neck injuries due to sharp force trauma. There's no dispute that he was murdered, and the question is by who. The judge also said that Zawadi's testimony placed Mustafa at the scene, which points to him being the culprit. He added that because they dated for 2 years, she had the ability to recognize him that night and also recognize his voice when he spoke. The judge added that two issues arise out of the foregoing evidence. A, whether the accused was properly recognized at the scene of murder, and B, if properly recognized, whether the circumstantial evidence points exclusively to the accused guilt. He said that the first issue was proved. He was recognized because Zawadi was there and Zawadi had seen him, and Zawadi had known him long enough for her to be able to recognize him and his voice when he spoke. On the second issue, he said, and I quote, Zawadi did not witness the accused murder the deceased, and the available evidence to this aspect is therefore circumstantial. It was at night around 9 p.m. in the bush. The body of the deceased was discovered at the very scene later at 5 a.m. with multiple cuts, which led to his death. The accused in his defense does not place himself at the scene. He says he was at home watching TV with his father, who was not called as a defense witness. This court finds evidence placing him at the scene reliable and dependable to the said extent. The judge said that Mustafa was the last person seen with Shaban at a secluded place at night. He added, the accused was the last person seen with the deceased alive. It was a secluded place at night. He was therefore no good as he confronted him, holding him by the waist and ordering him to get closer. He had 1 week prior threatened to attack him and the lover. The deceased was later found dead at the very said scene. The accused offers no reasonable explanation as to what happened to the deceased after Zawadi fled. He had the motive to kill or cause him grievous harm out of jealousy of taking over Zawadi in a love relationship. It shows that though he had parted from Zawadi, he had not let go. All these facts, when weighed together, points irresistibly and firmly to the guilt of the accused person. I therefore find him guilty of the offense of murder, contrary to section 203, as read with section 204 of the Penal Code, and he is hereby convicted of it. Mustafa was found guilty on February 18th, 2025, and the matter was adjourned, and the probation officer was asked to provide a social inquiry report, which should contain a victim's impact assessment report, and the case was then scheduled for a mention on March 3rd, 2025. And a mention is like a check-in just to see if everything is going as it should. It's not like a trial or a final sentence. So I tried, but I couldn't find any new updates on this case. So I don't really know if he's been sentenced or they're still in the process of doing whatever they do before they get to the final sentencing. And that is the story of Shaban Jefwa Katana. If you've made it to the end of the episode, as always, thank you so much for staying with me. And I'm very tired. I'm recording this on Wednesday morning. I've been up since about 3 because I woke up and then I couldn't go back to sleep. And then there was something at the back of my mind that's telling me I've forgotten something. And it wasn't until like it got closer to 4 that I got on my laptop because I was like, I might as well start preparing the episode now, only to realize that not only had I not recorded the episode, I also had not finished the second half of the script for the episode. So yeah, it's now 7 a.m. I'm so tired already. I'm so done with the day. I'm so done. Anyway, yeah, we've made it to the end of the episode. Thank you for listening. Follow me everywhere on TikTok, Crimes and Cons KE. On Instagram, I'm Crime and Cons KE. On Facebook, I'm Crime and Consequence KE, or Njerimboko actually, because that's where I realized when I cross post, they go to my actual page, but either's fine. And yeah, that's everywhere I am. I'm tired. So I do hope that you enjoy the episode. Don't forget to give me a 5-star rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and everywhere else that you can rate me. And leave a comment on what you thought about this case, and I will see you guys next week.